Welcome to the Osso Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guests today are Veronica Scuoto from University of Napoli Federica II and Theo Tsanidis from University of West of Scotland. They recently published an article entitled Navigating International Entrepreneurship While Impacting Regional Development in the Digital Age. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Veronica, Theo, welcome to our podcast.
Hi. Hi, Vincent. Thanks for this invitation.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper and why did you decide to address this particular topic and what is the key question you aim to answer?
So this was a very good question. I was thinking of that. And basically, we come from two different backgrounds in terms of expertise. I am more on entrepreneurship side and Theo is more on digital transformation side. And we decided to combine both expertise. Well, there is also another part, which is also very interesting, that I come from Italy, and so I work in Italy. He is comes from Greece, but he works in Scotland. And we decided also to analyze in both countries, so companies in both countries. The question that we tried to address was how do international enterprises navigate expansion into foreign markets while at the same time feeding into the regional development? So we also tried to connect digital transformation to understand how it play the connection with these two aspects, so the international entrepreneurship part with the regional development. The mission was to bring the international and the regional into one frame rather than standing them as insulation.
We actually agreed that, you know, these are two areas that exist in isolation. And the problem is bringing them together. These are two different worlds. And another thing that we found out is, like, I'm come from Greece. I completely understand, you know, we're very close culturally with Italy. But, you know, I live in UK, in Scotland. It's so far away. I mean, in terms of, you know, the Anglo-Saxon and the Mediterranean model, it's, you know, completely different. So that's one of the other things, bringing these two worlds together. And that was also a challenge, which we see later on. Yeah.
Can you identify the one, maybe two key contributions of your paper that you believe will have the most impact on the field?
Thanks, Vincent. I think the most important part was also the theoretical framework that we come up at the end of the paper. Basically, we highlight four emerging topics. The one is based on international entrepreneurial attitude, cultural value, and global orientation. And we basically noticed that both countries, so both firms in both countries, has needs this kind of the entrepreneurial attitude, cultural value, and a global orientation. We also noticed that the digital business model driven towards internationalization, so in the sense that they need being digitalized to go internationally. We live now in the situation that basically even small firms, now they are competing in the international market. And this happened thanks to the digital technologies, so artificial intelligence, cloud technologies, and whole digital, all other technologies. And this is becoming the relevant part. There is also another part, which is the network capability integration, because we need to be connected with the ecosystem. So we need to be connected with the other companies, with the other actors that are part of the such ecosystem. And then the other aspect is the multiplier regional effect, which connect both parts, so the economic and the innovation part. So in terms of making an impact, creating innovative product, innovative service, and the other apart, making the economic impact on both way, internationally and the regional part. So the relevance of this framework, this is cyclical. So basically, it's not a linear framework, but it's like a cycle that shows that there is a loop among all these aspects, so a feedback loop that is nothing, that is not just one way arrow. Would you like to add anything,
of course. I've always wanted to, like, you know, to add a bit in the end, but, you know, there's a second quieter contribution here, which is the concept where, you know, I would like both of us to call generative experimentation. It's the idea that firms continuously configure the business models in response to new technological affordances rather than designing a model once and then defending it. For me, it's that frames digital transformation as the augmentation and of the entrepreneurial behavior, not just a set of tools by bought it on the side. Because that's one thing we saw during the pandemic, you know, the thing that, you know, everybody forgets now is that everybody in business, small businesses, and they said it came out through the responses, everybody was buying things, buying digital tools, you know, just because it was a panic buy session, and degraded the digital transformation concept into a set of tools on the side. So this is not the case. And that was a very encouraging coming out from the themes, the answers.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such questions?
Okay, so I'll jump in this one. And the central challenge was integration on two levels. Theoretically, IEO, allow me to say that because it's a mouthful, and network capability come from adjacent but distinctive conversations. Forcing them together is a kind of a Frankenstein framework where neither half does the real work. So we had to be disciplined about why network capabilities generally complements IEO in a digital context. And essentially, it's the capability that lets a firm overcome resource limits and orchestrate partners, which is exactly what digital internationalization demands. Methodologically, we use Goya inductive approach, and that brings its own discipline. The temptation when you are already have two fiber theories is to read them straight into the interviews. So the Goya method deliberately slows you down because it's inductive. You know, you stay close to the informants on language, on the first order concepts, and then abstract carefully into the second order themes and aggregate dimensions. Holding that line was very challenging because, you know, letting the structure emerge rather than imposing it is more beneficial, while also comparing the two national groups. Here was a major challenge, as you know, and not so much for Veronica, as it was in her natural environment, the Italian firms. I was a Greek in UK, so I had to actually get that bias out of it. So we navigated by coding it several rounds, both authors involved throughout, and constantly moving between the data and the literature. It was annoying, but it was very rewarding in the end because we got very good responses and very good themes coming out of it.
Vincent, let me also include another aspect that, let's say that also we use an approach that is also called theory collaboration, which would frame all of this part, because we started to develop a guide to address the question, also to develop the questions based on the different theoretical frameworks. And then we moved to the inductive part because we wanted to come up with a new theoretical framework, starting directly with the responses that we got from the participants. And that was another challenge with, because basically we started from a theoretical part that already exists, moving from an inductive part.
Let's talk about the research process itself. Can you share something about the journey, perhaps a turning point during the data collection, a difficult decision you had to make about the research design, or even a moment of doubt, any surprise or counterintuitive result, something that made you think your initial assumption?
Well, there was many surprises. It was quite a journey. Because it's a qualitative inductive process. It's not so structured, systematic, and, you know, well-controlled quantitative study. So, yeah, that was the adventurous part. And the genuine surprise was a subtle one. And it only appeared because we compared two countries. On the surface, everyone agreed, think global, act local, came up almost universally. But underneath, the emphasis differed. Our UK enterprise kept returning to trust, being reliable, responsive, consistent. The Italian enterprises framed the same terrain as relationship building. I mean, there's an emotional substance there in the Mediterranean that was, you know, surfacing, bubbling on the surface. So the human bond was first there. So some destination, different doorway, same destination, different doorway, that made us think any assumption that digital internationalization simply flattens cultural difference. It doesn't. It just relocates where the difference shows up. The other moment that made us pause, or made me pause, I don't know about you, Veronica, was how stubbornly physical the digital story turned out to be. These digital confident firms, and yet almost everyone insisted that face-to-face contact at the right moment did something video calls couldn't, which was really, really surprising, because we're talking about digital. These were digital active firms, as we said. So one described digital as the backbone, with in-person meetings unlocking the breakthrough conversations. And there was a readiness gap we hadn't expected. Only half the sample had actually implemented new technologies, despite all of them being internationally orientated. So the orientation was there, the execution was lagged. That tension is, I think, one of the most honest findings of these papers, and I believe of other papers that may be in that area.
I think that Theo was a very comprehensive, and so in terms of, he touched all different points, and I agree with him. That's also another challenge, was also to engage with them, so engage with companies. So it seems sometimes it's very easy to get in touch with the company. Everyone wants to talk about that, but it's not completely true. So in terms of engaging with them, you need to... First of all, you get in touch with them via email, so the first contact. So I need to explain what is the value of these research and what kind of the benefit they are going to get from that. So luckily, we managed to get a good bunch of people. And that was very interesting, because at least we planned a call, I mean, actually an interview around, let's say, 45 minutes, 6 minutes, and then it lasts like more than that, because they really went into so talking about themselves, their life, their journey. And that was very nice.
I just want to... Just a little bit in the end. Yes, I agree 100%. It was challenging. And from UK, I don't know the same in Italy, Veronica. You need to tell them, what is it in for me? I mean, are you going to get something out of this? Because it's, you know, businesses and entrepreneurs have a transactional relationship. And I believe that's where, you know, the problem comes, because how do we as business academics give some value to business in this research without creating a bias? And that is, and I believe it's a big question, because that's going to bridge the two sides very well.
Yeah.
If you could go back to the beginning of this project, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently, and what advice would you give to other scholars embarking on similar research?
There's three things. Admit it, longitudinal. We took a snapshot, but these are processes that evolve over years. You really want to follow firms through stages of digital maturity rather than catch them all at once. However, that's a good start. Okay, I believe, you know, somebody has to start, and inductive it was the process to just start the conversation. I would widen the geography beyond Italy and the UK, particularly into emerging economies where there's institutional conditions are different. I suspect them. The model would bend in an interesting way if we're going to use that perspective. I'd also bring it in other voices, policymakers, investors, regional development agencies, because we captured the entrepreneur's account, which is the protagonist in a regional impact, but not yet the region's account of them. Okay, so that's another perspective. As for advice, I trust the inductive process even when it's uncomfortable. There is a strong pull to arrive at your framework when it's already finished, and simply sprinkle some quotes on the top. But the richer the findings, like the trust versus relationship distinction, only surface if you let the data lead. And if you can, build genuine cross-national and cross-disciplinary partnerships. This paper exists because two people looking at the same phenomenon from different traditions keep comparing notes. That friction is where the contribution came from, I think. Veronica?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's another good question because I was also, while you were speaking, I was thinking that I really enjoyed doing this research. So also the pathway of revision was also very interesting because let us think of different aspects, taking also different perspective on board that at the beginning we didn't take account on that. So that was also another part of the journey that I really interesting and I really enjoyed. What I would do the different? Oh, that would actually. I can, so genuinely, I will say nothing because so hard to get through it. And also, we did all these different steps following the reviewer comments, so the editor that I thanks all of you. And it was very interesting and nice concept that I really wish that everyone will do it.
I want to thank the editor and the reviewers for their, zealous contribution. I think sometimes, to be frank, it gets a little bit annoying, but you need to remember that these guys are dedicating the time for free. And, they really, an additional contribution because they give you a perspective. Sometimes when you're in the deep end of the paper, you don't see things and you think you have the right thing, but peer review, it's a very good part of the process to just make sure that it's worst of any bias and other things, so special thanks.
Thanks a lot, Veronica and CEO, for participating in our show and for pulling back the curtain on your research process on your article entitled Navigating International Entrepreneurship While Impacting Regional Development in the Digital Age. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.